Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And welcome into Market Talk, a special Saturday, September 11th edition of the program. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thank you so much for joining us here as had a few technical issues with some traveling yesterday. We're unable to get the show up for you on Friday after the release of the WASDE report and the close of the markets. That's why we have the special edition of the show here today. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, of course, the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks on the U.S. And it's a day today that we remember and never forget, and definitely think about those families who lost loved ones throughout those terrorist attacks, and the price that was paid and the toll that was taken on our great nation. So definitely take some time to remember those folks here today. As again, today, the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. I remember right where I was. I was still in elementary school, dating myself there a little bit. But nonetheless, I remember exactly where I was, what classroom I was in when I found out about the terrorist attacks. And it's something that will definitely not be lost on this great nation, that's for sure. Well, let's go back and recap Friday's trade and take a look at those WASDE numbers. USDA releasing the crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimate reports. USDA calling for higher quoted soybean production in the U.S. Core production forecast at 15 billion bushels, up 246 million bushels from last month on increases to harvested area and yield, which is 176.3 bushels per acre, up 1.7 bushels. Harvested areas, 85.1 million acres, up 600,000. The U.S. corn outlook is for larger supplies, increased feed and residual use, greater exports, and higher ending stocks. The season average corn price dropped 30 cents to $5.45 a bushel. Soybean production predicted at 4.37 billion bushels, up 35 million with lower harvested area, more than offset by a higher yield forecast of 50.6 bushels per acre. The area harvested for soybeans is predicted to be 86.4 million acres, lower than last month, but 5% from last year. Soybean supply and use changes include higher beginning stocks, production, exports, ending stocks, and a lower soybean crush rate. The season average price is down 80 cents to $12.90 per bushel. The U.S. wheat outlook is for reduced supply, slightly higher domestic use, unchanged exports, and decreased ending stocks. The season average farm price dropped 10 cents to $6.60 a bushel for wheat. Now, we saw soybean futures lead the market on Friday, with soybean meal showing leadership, while late buying interest boosted soybean oil into positive territory as well, with ending stocks of soybeans still historically low despite an upward revision in yield and production on the WASDE report. The report was viewed as bearish for U.S. corn, neutral for U.S. wheat, and neutral for soybeans as well. Global stocks of all three crops were revised higher this month to levels above expectations, with global balance sheets viewed as bearish. Now, yesterday, we got comments from Arlen Sudeman of Stone X after the release of the September WASDE report. Here's what Arlen had to say.
Well, there's a couple of things that everyone was looking at, and that was yield and acreage. So let's start with the acreage. We got the FSA acres for September inadvertently released earlier this week. And as we looked at them, we thought we'd see an increase in corn acres. It was a little bit confusing on the soybeans, because when we looked at the August FSA data, it looked like we'd get maybe 900,000 acre increase in corn and maybe up to a half million acre decrease in soybeans. The September data gave us a little better feel. Maybe we'd be closer to a million acre increase in corn, and we would see soybeans stay relatively unchanged. But we ended up with corn going up 600,000, which was really less than the trade feared, and soybeans going down 400,000 acres. So we were right the first time, or closer to it the first time. Then on the yields came in a little hotter than what the trade expected, but below what our survey-based estimate had shown. Corn yield at 176.3 bushels per acre, soybeans at 50.6 bushels per acre. USDA also did some upward adjustments in the demand estimates. So the net result was that the markets are seeing this with a big sigh of relief. We've traded corn and soybeans higher, soybeans hanging on to those gains. Corn saying, wait a minute, we still got a 1.4 billion bushel carryout. Not sure that justifies rationing demand with higher prices, but at least it's providing support for the market at this time.
Well, looking at the final numbers in the trade yesterday, December corn up 7.5, 517.5, March corn up 7.25, 526.5, November soybeans up 16 at 1286.5, January beans up 16 at 1294.75. Bean meal for October up 440 a ton, 339.50. October bean oil down 28 points, 55.78. December Chicago wheat 3.75 lower, 688.5. December KC wheat down a quarter penny, 682.5. And looking over as well at Minneapolis spring wheat on the day, December Minneapolis spring wheat. Just getting that number back up in front of me. There it is. That was up 6.25 at 878.75 on the day on Friday. Now over in the livestock arena, we should touch on that here real quick as well. We were mostly lower, especially the hog market collapsing yesterday, as we saw that hogs, new lows were being posted as sellers remained aggressive on the cattle side and on the hog side. Substantial weakness there with October, December nearing the support from August 10th. The National Daily Pork Report showed cutout values higher yesterday as well, as just weakness across the entire complex, hogs and cattle. As we saw yesterday's weekly export sales were released, and China was the top buyer for hogs, but it didn't matter as we were just down across the board. Lean hogs for October down 302, 82.45, December down 337, 76.10 yesterday. Feeder cattle for September down 150, 154.25, October down 152, 157.72. October live cattle down 32, 123.42, December lives down 57, 128.22. February live cattle down 87, 132.02. And that's just a recap of how Friday's trade was after the release of the September WASDE and crop production reports. And, of course, we watched the market closely to get to the Sunday night open and get back to a full week of trade. We'll see where the market, what direction it goes on Monday. But all in all, prices remained were pretty solid on Friday, at least in the corn and soybean markets after the release of that report. Well, wrapping up market talk here today, I recently got a chance to talk with Matt Erickson from Farm Credit Services of America just about the general state of the farm economy. And right now we're going to listen to that interview with Matt Erickson of Farm Credit Services of America. Jesse Allen here, and pleased to have joining us here today, we have Matt Erickson. He is the Agriculture, Economic, and Policy Advisor with Farm Credit Services of America. Matt, thanks for joining us here today. How are you?
Good, Jesse. How are you?
I am great, Matt. Thank you for making some time to join the show here today. And I just wanted to start. I know recently you had this talk at NCBA, the Cattle Industry Convention, just looking at the fundamental outlook for agriculture 2021 and beyond. And as we look at the ag economy, we look at the markets, we look at the bottom line situations of a lot of farmers, we've seen some good profitability here the last few months in the grain markets. But just overall, to start, what is your general thoughts of where our ag economy is at right now as we work into the back half of the year?
Absolutely. And Jesse, thanks for having me on. And we had a really good discussion at the NCBA convention, and you know, just the folks that were at the convention. Overall, it's kind of interesting where we've been, you know, over the past, you know, year, as well as even the past decade of where American agriculture has been. You know, if you look at last year and what we went through, first and foremost, it's just unprecedented with what we went through back in 2020. And, you know, when we were, you know, going through that time during a pandemic, you know, I think a lot of us, it just came out of nowhere. And, you know, I remember back when I was working up on Capitol Hill, you know, the first couple months, of 2020, it was almost like we heard this thing was over in China. But we never really thought what it could be if it came over here to the United States. And then, you know, when we went through, you know, the winter of 2020, you know, even through the summer of 2020, we saw a lot of holes in our supply chain system when we had to be reactive to those things and making sure that we help our producers out there with that response. But, you know, if you look at, you know, the economy back then in 2020, it really sets up the conversation of what we're going through today. And when we shut down the economy, you know, I think a lot of things just really happened. And what we knew. And, you know, we had restaurants going out of business. We had, you know, a lot of things that consumers like to do, just really go out of business or shut their doors down because of the pandemic. And as we enter through, you know, 2020 into 2021, we always knew that we were going to have demand outstrip supply when we were going to reopen the U.S. economy. And, you know, right now we're expecting to see about a 6 to 7% GDP growth in 2021. Looking at it last year, we had about a 3.5% contraction to U.S. GDP. And so we're starting to see things come up to play here. And what's side of the story, you know, the story is we're seeing high exports. We're seeing high consumer demand. And we're seeing, you know, some of these weather issues play out. And all of those are bullish trends that we're seeing in the agricultural economy. And Jesse, what's really interesting is, you know, when we went through 2020 into 2021, we've also seen a lot of government assistance that's been put out there, you know, just with, you know, folks, you know, with, you know, losing their jobs or things getting shut down, getting that assistance out to producers. But what's interesting is, you know, when we've seen this, we've seen a lot of personal savings being spent because, you know, consumers didn't have anywhere else to go with spending their money. So they just put it in personal savings. And so a lot of that has been driving consumer demand. Folks are getting out to restaurants, and all of those are bullish indicators for American agriculture.
Well, Matt, I know as well the Kansas City Fed District reporting, you know, additional increases in farm income. We're seeing that that loan repayments, the rates there, they're increasing rapidly, and loan demand is being, you know, subdued somewhat here as we get through this year. Can you speak to that a little bit and just how that translates into what our farmers and ranchers are seeing with their bottom lines right now?
Yeah, I think we've got to start off with, you know, the export picture. And, you know, really since last fall, you know, we saw a really robust increase from China with regard to the product that they need with regard to corn and soybeans. And so we've seen a lot of U.S. exports over to China on the corn and soybean picture, which is also beefing up demand for those products. Second, I think you've got to turn to, you know, the South America weather picture and what their experience was with last year's crop on their end. You know, we're seeing, you know, their soybean crop, their corn crop really got hit hard by drought, and some of their corn crop got hit hard by frost issues. And so, you know, that drought condition in South America really drove, you know, a tight supply on a global perspective when it comes to those two key commodities. And when you look at the domestic picture, what's also interesting is we're running on tight supply of corn and soybeans here as well. And, you know, you look at the soybean picture, you know, we're at an incredibly, you know, low stocks to use. I think we're at about 3.5% for soybeans. And I think just about 7.5-8% for U.S. corn right now. So, again, all those factors right now going into an incredibly tight supply picture really, you know, helps drive up those prices. And, you know, when we see, you know, some of these things drive up price and we see some of these input costs kind of lag, and we'll get to input costs here moving forward, you know, that really helps the bottom line of producers where you see these, you know, key factors of demand, robust, you know, exports, we've got high consumer demand, all those things are lifting up the price for some of these commodities. But, you know, I will tell you, Jesse, it's been a breath of fresh air a little bit, because I'll tell you that over the past decade, you know, we've seen a low price environment. And, you know, when you talk to farmers and ranchers out there, it's good to be able to produce a crop where you can make a profit and, you know, take advantage of some of these high prices. And so, you know, a lot of that can be, you know, maybe building up some of that working capital, reducing some of those operating loan or some of those loan payments that producers have to deal with every year. So it's the picture right now has been a definite welcome for U.S. agriculture, in particular farmers and ranchers.
Well, Matt, you mentioned input costs, and I wonder, moving forward, we look at the supply-demand picture, and we look, you mentioned this earlier, the supply chain issues that we have. How much do you think supply chain issues are going to impact our cost of inputs and the general economy moving forward? And you know, talking about cost of inputs as well, I mean, do you see those continue to rise as well? How's that all going to tie in with everything going on right now?
Yeah, you know, I think probably the biggest question I get from our customers and from farmers around the country is inflation. And, you know, we knew coming out of this, and I don't want to say coming out of this pandemic, I should say as we start to reopen and get things back to a new sense of normal in the U.S. economy, you know, we did expect to see inflation pick back here a little bit. You know, I don't think anyone, you know, a lot of folks were maybe saying, you know, 3 to 4%, but, you know, now we're at, you know, levels around 5% inflation growth. And, you know, so we are seeing a general level of price increase out in the U.S. economy. But again, that's driven a lot from demand outstripping supply. And I think when we get things, you know, if we can get some of these systems back up and going, you know, I do see the situation where demand won't outstrip supply as much. And so hopefully process is back in place and going up a little bit back into normal conditions. So some of these transitory factors, I think, will come back to rather normal, given that we can get this Delta variant and some of these different variants under control here a little bit. Jesse, what I think is going to be interesting here as we look forward, you know, is going to be the corn and soybean complex and the fertilizer price increases that we are seeing, especially when you look at potash and some of these nitrogen prices that are out there. Generally, you know, we have seen a little bit when we look at the past year, we have seen fertilizer prices kind of lag to what commodity prices have done this year. But certainly I do think, you know, given where things are today, that could have an indicator and play and be a factor into terms of what farmers grow next year when they look at whether to plant, you know, more corn or more soybeans next year. So fertilizer prices are going to be a big, heavy indicator on the market as we move into 2022.
You know, an interesting thought I had, maybe I can get some of your thoughts here as well. You know, we see farmers, a lot of them repaying some of these operating loans, maybe able to save some capital and kind of add some back into the operation. But, you know, we obviously have the issues out there on the supply chain side of getting new equipment, new tractors, new combines to some respect, new pickup trucks, you name it. New pieces that could go into the operation. Are you hearing from a lot of farmers and ranchers here as we get to the back half of 2021? Are they looking at spending on new equipment, new pieces for the operation, or are they more, you know, looking to maybe save some of that capital back here with some of the unknowns out there with supply chain issues and COVID, et cetera, et cetera?
Jesse, I think it's a mixture of both. And it really depends on the farmer situation, what their financial outlook looks like. But really, it hasn't been a one-size-fits-all when I talk to customers. It's, you know, they have their strategy. They're going through, you know, this year in terms of, you know, what can I do? What's my strategy moving forward into 2022 as well as 2023? And so, you know, it is an opportunity where, you know, farmers can build up that working capital. And, you know, it never hurts to have options in terms of, you know, if you have higher working capital, what you're going to do with that working capital. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we do at Farm Credit is educate our customers in terms of, you know, here's what the market outlook looks like. How can we be better prepared and help you, you know, provide that service in terms of what the market looks like and what others are looking at as well. But, you know, you look at the situation right now, you know, we still have historically low interest rates. You know, it's a good time for farmers to take a look at their financial situation, to take advantage of some of those low interest rate environment. But, you know, for the most part, I think here, you know, there are opportunities within the market where farmers can, you know, can look at their cost structure, look at their profit structure into 2022. And manage appropriately.
Well, and you mentioned interest rates there. And of course, we just had Fed Chair Powell. There was some talk we might see that rise. There's some talk of tapering, but no rise in interest rates quite yet. But I have a sneaking suspicion that could be pretty close around the corner for us here, Matt.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, when you look at the 10-year treasury and some of these interest rate variables, you know, you look at the past year when the pandemic, you know, first started, as well as, you know, actually to current to date. And, you know, there are opportunities that are out there for you know, farmers and ranchers to maybe refinance, to take advantage of some of these opportunities that are out there for their operation.
Matt, I know you mentioned a little bit about Farm Credit Services of America. You guys have a lot of great programs that can help farmers and ranchers. I know the cashback dividend is a big one you guys talk about a lot, but maybe highlight a few things you want farmers and ranchers to know that is going on that can help them right now, Farm Credit Services of America.
Yeah, right here. We want to be a valuable partner with farmers and ranchers within the community, within rural America. And we want to continue that tradition. We've got about over 70 affiliated farm credit areas within the farm credit system. And, you know, we just want to be a valuable partner with farmers and ranchers in the financial space, as well as the rural community. And anytime you look at, you know, our cashback dividend or our patronage program, you know, what's really important there is too, is, you know, farmers can take advantage of that. We are, you know, we do give patronage, you know, back to our customers. And by turn, that helps rural America, you know, putting in those resources farmers and ranchers do for things like equipment, for things such as investment. So, you know, that is an added benefit to being a farm credit customer and, you know, getting some of that, you know, working capital back to them as well.
Well, I know folks can learn more. FCSAmerica.com is a good way to start. Matt, any other final thoughts you have for us here real quick before we run out of time?
You know, I think one of the big things, you know, as we look into 2021 and kind of transition to 2022, you know, first, I think, you know, when we look at, you know, the harvest for corn and soybeans here coming up here, first and foremost, hopefully every farmer and rancher has a safe and successful harvest. But then two, I think what's interesting with what we've seen here in 2020 or going from 2020 to 2021 is just really unprecedented. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to build up working capital. But, you know, as we've worked with our customers, you know, I think what's going to be important is when we head into 2022, how we can manage that working capital in terms of maximizing the potential for each and every farmer that's out there. So, you know, we're going to be doing some education on some of those things with our customers, as well as the rural community at large. But, you know, I think, you know, we just have to be prepared in terms of the volatility that's out there. But, you know, take advantage of the good times while they're out there and make sure that we're prepared for the future.
Well, I know folks can learn more again. FCSAmerica.com is a great place to start. With that, agriculture, economic, and policy advisor with Farm Credit Services of America, Matt Erickson, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me on.
And that is Matt Erickson of Farm Credit Services of America joining us here for this special Saturday, September 11th edition of Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. Make sure, again, you take that time here today to remember the lives lost 20 years ago on September 11th, 2001. That's going to do it for Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you and yours a safe and happy weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.